This afternoon, we'll go back to our study in Romans, but this morning, I felt led of the Lord, I trust, to make some application of a very well-known parable, which is found in a whole chapter of parables in Matthew. Now, by way of reminder, parables are not for the purpose of establishing essential doctrine, and they are not for interpreting other scriptures. Essential doctrine and other scriptures must always interpret the parable. Parables very often begin by stating the spiritual thing or the truth spoken of in the parable, such as the kingdom of God is like unto, or perhaps likened to, something in nature or some activity common to men. In other words, there's something about those things which can be used to press home, not establish or reveal, but press home an important truth about the things that they are like unto. Parables are meant to effectually impress on the heart of the believer things which make for his faithfulness, his joy, his peace, his sanctification, and his fruitfulness. I say parables are meant for the believer. And I hope you'll keep all of that in mind as I first speak of the parable found in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46. And then secondly, share an exhortation, a short exhortation concerning that parable. I hope that you'll actually take to heart anything you hear that is proven by the scriptures. Take it to heart and act upon it. So let's all pick up our Bibles and turn to Matthew 13. Now, before we go to our text in this chapter, chapter 13, I want to first read in the very same chapter, verses 9 through 18, and make just very little comment on that. Give us some things to keep in mind. This comes right after the parable of the seeds. And Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now these whose heart was waxed gross, and their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes were closed, and they didn't hear, and they didn't see. These were those among the Jews, and there were a great many of them, quite frankly, had turned away from all the mercy and grace of God over and over and over. And now the very incarnate Word of God stands in their midst, that Messiah they said they were waiting for, and they turned away from Him. Their day of grace was over, and there was a great many of them. Now, Jesus preached the gospel to everyone very clearly, but there were many things having to do with the kingdom of God that He then went on after preaching the parable to explain only to his disciples, who had been justified by grace alone, through faith alone. And so they were spiritual men and women. But as for these who hardened their hearts and turned away, these he spoke of, their day of grace was over. And remember this, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. It is for the glory of Christ and the good of our own souls that we believers should seek to have an abundance of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are in Christ, and multiply the graces of God in us, so to speak, to see them enlarged and increased. And the unbeliever, who by the rich grace of God sits in his house with his people under the preaching of the word by one of his ministers, and yet hardens his heart against Christ Jesus and his mercy, ought to be warned that his day of grace will one day be over. It's not very popular to warn that these days. But no, his day of grace will be over. Perhaps even before his death, certainly with his death, but perhaps even before his death, long before his death, with God giving him over to his own hard heart, he has received of the grace of God. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. He has received in the sense that God has been gracious and put him in that house of his under his preaching, and been so kind and generous and good to share so much light that most people in the world don't have. So he has that much. He's heard the gospel. He's heard it applied. He's heard the warning of hell and the blessing of heaven. And yet, even what he has will be taken away if he contemns it and doesn't seek to be saved by the Lord, who is so gracious and generous to him. Our text then is here in verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven, that holy, eternal, spiritual kingdom of life and light and peace and joy and power and grace and glory, is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, this pearl buyer seeking goodly pearls resembles something, some truth concerning the kingdom of heaven. There is a similitude here for us to consider and for us to learn from. And it is this, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. How and what are we believers to learn from this parable? And I pray all of us who are in Christ will learn from this parable. I pray the truth the Lord would have us learn would work effectually in our hearts, that it will be with us as our Lord said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." I said, how are we to learn from this parable? Because key to learning anything is to identify the pearl of great price. What or who does this priceless pearl represent? Well, simply put, there is no pearl of greater value than Christ Jesus, and to have him as Lord and Savior. Paul writes in Galatians, the chapter 3, the verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And of course, as children of God in Christ Jesus, we all receive every blessing he would bestow upon us, the full inheritance of the saints in light. This is ours to receive, though we often grieve the Spirit of God and quench the work of the Spirit in that way. But it's ours. It's all ours by our union in Christ, because we are in Christ. He has purchased all of this for us. It is ours because we are in Christ. It is ours from Christ. It is ours through Christ as born again children of God. And so the believer in his heart sees Christ as precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. 1 Peter, the verse 2, chapter 2, the verse 7. He is precious. Consider all the precious things we receive because of being in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, verse 7. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 1. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5, the verse 1. Christ Jesus is our life. Colossians 3, verse 4. That is, he is our spiritual, eternal life, including the resurrection, the glorification of our bodies. John 11, verse 25. Christ Jesus is for us our hope of glory. He is even our lively hope within the veil, which is sure and steadfast, the anchor of our soul. Colossians 1, the verse 27. Also in Hebrews 6. Yes, but there is more. Christ Jesus is for the Christian not just his righteousness and redemption, but also his wisdom and sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1, the verse 30. In Christ we have title to all the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1, the verse 18, including all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are in him. Colossians 2, the verse 3. Through Christ, God always giveth us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 57. And in Christ Jesus, he always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians 2, the verse 14. And he supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4, the verse 19. And of his fullness have all we received and grace for grace. John 1, the verse 16. And so, is it any wonder that Peter says this of the Christian who has come to comprehend this more and more? Of Christ, he says in 1 Peter 1, the verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is that pearl, then, of great price. Christ Jesus is all in all for his people. He is our prophet and our truth. He is our sacrifice and our great high priest. He is our Passover lamb and our good shepherd. He is our healing balm and he is our infallible physician. He is our light and life, our king and yet our brother. He is our spiritual rock in a weary land. He is our bread of heaven and our fountain of life and life abundant. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our bulwark and shield. Without Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do all things. And therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, this day, right now. This speaks of this day, these gospel times. Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah 12, the verses 3 through 6. Christ Jesus and the life, peace, power, graces, and glory of Christ is the pearl of great price, the pearl of immeasurable, inestimable, infinite, eternal worth to his people. And unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And do we say with Paul from the heart, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom, Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that is, increasingly and more so. Of course, you find that in Philippians chapter 3. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. In the parable, the merchant who found the pearl of great price went and he sold all that he had that he might have that pearl of great price, that it might be his, all his. What ought the Christian to understand from that? Well, just this, that we ought to value Christ and knowing him and the power of his resurrection. To summarize it, far above all things. We ought to have a great desire to always know more of Christ from his word and experimentally in our hearts and have more of Christ, and so more of the joy and the peace and the power and the graces and the glory that we have title to in Christ and through Christ. This we should hold to be of the highest value, of inestimable worth. This is the pearl of great price, to have all the fullness of Christ. And as Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans in chapter 15, the verse 29, all the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And so every Christian, all of us ought to press on to apprehend that for which Christ has apprehended us. The flesh and the devil vehemently oppose us in this. But by the grace and word and spirit of Christ, we must steadfastly battle both the flesh and the devil, then, strong as they are, and diligently press ahead with faith in the promises of God, all the promises of God, which are all yea in Christ and in him. Amen. As the hymn puts it, our captain leads us forth to conquest and a crown. A feeble saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way. And we ought to want to see our brothers and sisters in Christ to be of one heart and one mind in this. First, that Christ would be glorified and his church as Eden, even as the garden of the Lord, fruitful and faithful and full of joy and gladness and thanksgiving, most especially on the Lord's Day. And secondly, because we're all of one body and we all affect each other to one extent or another, either being a hindrance to each other's spiritual good and joy, or being a help. And as I spoke about again last Lord's Day, are we not admonished then in the Scriptures to edify one another, to admonish one another, to comfort one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works, to urge one another on in the faith, to speak to one another the goodness and the triumphs and the glory of the Lord, and so forth, and the power of the Lord, and the promises of the Lord? One would think all of that had dried up and blown away now, because the wrong seems off so strong, but God is the ruler yet. Now, what about this pearl of great price, which is Christ and all the fullness of Christ? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. How precious is this pearl of great price to us? How precious is this Christ Jesus who, in our place, obeyed where we disobeyed, and who bled and died to redeem us, and ever liveth to make intercession for us? What effort are you and I making to have all the fullness of Christ and all the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ? What effort are we making? Now, I ask myself that. But also as a minister, I tell you this. There's nothing more a faithful minister can do if he would be faithful. But preach Christ from the scriptures and teach the things which make for the faithfulness, the fruitfulness, the safety, the joy, and sanctification of the Lord's flock. He cannot force the people of God, the people to whom he preaches, to take heed to his preaching and diligently seek to increasingly apprehend the blessings and the benefits of the truth shared. He can, of course, expect them to sit quietly and give attention and listen, but as to taking heed to the preaching and then setting about to apprehend the blessing and the benefit and to apply what was preached, he cannot really do one thing about that. The Apostle Paul addresses this very thing. Writing to the church at Corinth, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the verses are 11 and 12. O ye Corinthians, he says, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Speaking of the faithful ministers of Christ, then and now, Paul writes, our mouth is open unto you. That is, faithful ministers preach and teach the Lord's people from the scriptures the doctrines of Christ. They preach the things that are necessary and make for their faithfulness, their fruitfulness, their safety, their joy, their sanctification. This they do out of love for Christ and his truth, yes, but certainly then for his people to whom they're preaching. And that's what Paul means, speaking of the minister, the faithful minister, preaching out of a heart of love for Christ and for his truth and for his church. That's what he means when he writes, our heart is enlarged. He speaks there of all faithful ministers with the same heart, enlarged with love and concern and a desire to see Christ glorified and his church filled with grace and glory, with joy and rejoicing, faithful and fruitful. Now, what more can a minister do but preach and teach with such a heart from the Word of God? He cannot force anyone among the people of God to heed his preaching and diligently seek to apprehend the blessings and benefits of the truth shared. He cannot force them to take the things preached and put these things into application. If some are then straitened in their own bowels, that is, if they choose to ignore the heavenly truth set before them, if they choose then to neglect then their inner man, their spiritual man, and so to be spiritually dry and pinched and wanting within, straitened then in their own bowels, it's not the fault of the minister, but the fault lies in their own heart. Paul declares, ye are not straitened in us. That is, it's not because of the minister that you're in that spiritual condition. I say such as we're talking about. He says, but ye are straitened in your own bowels because you sit under the preaching of the word, but when the preaching is all over, there is little or no effort to be conformed to the truth preached. There is a listening and then a leaving. And so such cheat and injure their own soul, and they do likewise to the church of Christ. So we would all do well, all of us, to take care that we hear the word of God in faith and sincerely, rather than treat the promised blessings of God as so much hyperbole and useless. Useless to seek after, personally, persistently, and gratefully. Yes, perhaps sometimes we suffer setbacks and defeats, but seeking to apply the truth that Christ might be applied to our hearts, quite frankly, that we might have that pearl of great price. And so always gaining ground and always maturing in the grace and knowledge of God. If you are a Christian and you say, well, what? This is for others? It's not for others. If you're a Christian, it's for you. If you don't think it's for you, if you don't think you can make that sort of progress and have that pearl of great price more and more, then ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Or perhaps you don't even know God in a saving way. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Those who are wise, those to whom Christ is truly precious, those whose faith worketh by love, will be more and more like that merchant who gave up everything to have that pearl of great price. I'm saying such will prize Christ, and the effectual, experimental, spiritual knowledge of Christ and the power of his resurrection above all things. And they'll press forward to have more and more of the pearl of great price. And Paul says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich, spiritually rich. You might have in all its fullness that pearl of great price. I say that you might have in all his fullness, as we've talked about briefly, the pearl of great price. And blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May it be so. Amen.